Welcome to City Church's podcast, and thanks for joining us. Open up a Bible and listen in. And now, here's Pastor Kyle with today's message.
Well, since the beginning of 2020, I feel like all I'm doing is looking out on the horizon in search for better days ahead, and they just keep escaping me. I wonder how many of you feel like that too. What a week this has been, hasn't it? I mean, who could have imagined that things could get worse after a global pandemic that we're very much still in the midst of? Well, this last week, the unimaginable happened. Things got a lot worse. It was triggered by the unjust murder of George Floyd, and I didn't watch the entire video, but I saw enough to see that it was absolutely heinous. And you know, the anger that we've been seeing isn't just about George Floyd. No, this is a deep issue that isn't new, but the pain of it is resurfacing in our time in a new way. And I feel like I shouldn't even need to say this, but I have to. Racism is sinful and it's abhorrent to God. And all of us are created in the image of God. There are countless Bible verses that testify to that fact. And yet again, though, our African American and minority brothers and sisters do not feel safe in our country. And they wake up every single day worried about what might happen if they get pulled over for a speeding ticket. You know, some of us can't even imagine what that would feel like. Friends, I'm not trying to be political here right now. I'm trying to speak as a human being right now from my own friends who have communicated to me how they feel on an ongoing basis. And so I'm going to be direct with you today. If you think there is not a problem, you are not listening. And it's easy for me as a white male to think sometimes that there isn't a problem. But about 6 years ago, a former African-American congregation member here at City Church, who's since moved away, helped me understand these issues in a way that honestly I never had before. And I'm so grateful that he was patient with me. I'm so grateful that he let me ask the uncomfortable questions without treating me like I was wrong for asking them. And this friend helped me understand that there is indeed a problem. He helped me understand that denying that there's a problem doesn't help the problem. Church, we need to listen to our African American and minority brothers and sisters. We need to hear their voices. We need to feel their pain. Our nation will not heal until our friends feel heard. And to those of you who are watching this right now who are minorities, I would ask that you be patient with those of us who are still learning. This has always been a tense topic. This is a very tense time right now in our nation and in our world. And in fact, some of you might be feeling tense right now just hearing me bring all of this up. But tension is not a bad thing inherently. It's what we do with that tension that matters. Let me tell you a quick story. A few years back, I was attending the Transformation Ministries Conference, and one of the topics of the conference that year was racial reconciliation. And during the lunch hour, I was getting my sandwich in line, and I just happened to be right behind Pastor Ivan Pitts. And he's the leader of one of the most successful African-American churches in our area. And so I asked him a question in line that I've been pondering. I asked him, you know, as a white male pastor, what can I do to help on this issue? And I expected Pastor Ivan to give me a quick answer and kind of move on, but instead he said, "Are you busy right now?" And I hesitated a bit because my wife was with the kids and I didn't want to leave her alone. And then I realized that she would want me to go to something like that. So I said, "No, actually I'm free." And what happened next was absolutely amazing. Pastor Ivan invited me into a holy of holies of sorts, if you will, and he had arranged a gathering with the leading African-American pastors that were all the speakers at the conference to get lunch together, and he decided to let me into it. So it was me with some of the smartest pastors I have ever met, and I remember a lot of things about that lunch, but there are two distinct lessons from that experience that I want to share with you today, and the first one is this. The most powerful tool that any of us has is a listening ear. You know, these pastors continually reaffirm the power of just listening to the painful experiences of our minority friends. And you know, that in and of itself is incredibly powerful. And the second thing I want to relay to you that I remember from that time was these pastors told me something that shocked me. they told me that my voice could actually cut through to people who wouldn't listen to them because they're African-American pastors. And up until that point, I felt like I couldn't say anything about this topic because I am a white male. I was damned if I do, and I felt like I was damned if I don't. But these men helped me understand that my position as a white male pastor actually gave me a unique position to speak to people who would not hear from them. You know, wherever you are, here's what I want to tell you. You can listen. You can learn. There are people you know that you are uniquely positioned to impact that won't listen to other people. So here's where I've come to after some serious soul searching this week. None of us are free from bias, myself included. You know, instead of pretending we aren't biased, I think what we should be doing is spending some time reflecting on what our biases actually are and how they stop us from seeing the truth and how they stop us from seeing people the way that God sees them. So here's some personal reflection that I've done on my own racism. You know, I've done this before, but this week I did spend some time reflecting on the racism that I witnessed growing up. I spent some time reflecting on how it affects my own thought patterns. I spent some time thinking about how my biases are affecting how I view people in the present tense. I don't like to admit it, but I have biases just like you. And what I'm trying to do is shift my mindset from just saying I'm not a racist and saying, oh, I'm not hurting anyone with respect to this issue, to a question instead. And the question that I'm trying to shift my mindset to is this: what do I need to do to better understand how racism has infiltrated our society and how it has infiltrated my own heart? I am praying Romans 12:2 that says this: that I would be transformed by the renewal of my mind, that by testing I may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Listen, every Christian should be praying through Romans 12:2 every single day. So applying this verse to the context of racial bias in our own hearts should not be a stretch for any of us. We need the Lord to help us see people as God sees them so we can root these issues out of our hearts. You know, like you, I am longing for better days ahead, and I'm longing for the joy and the love of life to return very, very soon. My message title today is Longing for Better Days. And if you got a Bible in your home, well, your home, you got a Bible, open it up to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. You can fire it up on your phone if you got it there. And we're going to see the Apostle Peter talk about how Christians can get back to a place where the love of life and good days return again. Now, apologies in advance, but we're not going to see Peter give like four steps to happiness and then everything's fine in your life. Instead, what Peter's going to do is lay out some hard issues that every person needs to deeply wrestle through in their own hearts. And the implication seems to be that until we wrestle through this stuff, better days will continue to escape us. And it would seem to me that Peter was writing to a struggling audience who was longing for better days as well. So let's pray together, and then we're going to read Peter's thoughts on how to love life again and how to see happier days again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are near to the brokenhearted. You weep with us when you weep. You hurt with us when we hurt. And I pray right now, Lord, that we would do that right now, that we would weep with those who weep, that we would hurt with those who hurt, that we would mourn with those who mourn. God, I pray that you give wisdom to our government leaders from the top all the way to the state level, to the local levels, and everything in between. Lord, we ask for your hand of protection to be upon our nation right now. Lord Jesus, I pray today that as we open your word, that you would open our eyes to see what you want us to see from it, that you would open our ears, that we would hear what you want us to hear from it, and most importantly, that you would open up our hearts today, that we'd respond and become the disciples you want us to be as a result of having read it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12. It says this: "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let me comment on this text for a little bit. Peter's quoting from Psalm 34, verses 12 through 16 here. And when I read the words that says that say, whoever desires to love life and see good days, man, my heart just internally like leapt for joy for a minute. And the pages of the Bible felt like a light at the end of a very dark tunnel. And before we move on, I just want to tell you that there is light at the end of every tunnel for the believer. And if you are not a believer, this statement is not true for you. In fact, the world is as bright as things will ever get for you if you are not a believer. But if you are a Christian, this world is as dark as things will ever get for you. So if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, today's the day to settle that. But the great news is that if you are a believer, there is always light at the end of the tunnel. There are always better days ahead. And in this text, though, Peter is telling us that there are some things we need to do in order to see those better days return. And so here are some things that Peter says have to happen before we can see better days again. And the first one is this. We need to seek unity by listening to and loving those who think differently. In verse 8, Peter says that we are to seek unity of mind. And I want to be crystal clear on what I mean by unity of mind. Unity of mind means having the mind of Christ. In Philippians 2:5, the Apostle Paul explains what this means, saying, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." See, Jesus's mind is available to everyone who calls themselves a Christian. It's not your perspective or my perspective that we're to gather unity around. It's Jesus's perspective. And seeking the mind of Christ starts with knowing God's word. Seeking the mind of Christ means that we listen to other people's perspective. Seeking the mind of Christ means self-examination and self-reflection on issues where we might not see eye to eye. In some situations, when Christians pray for unity, I think it's kind of like a tacit way of saying, "Hey, God, you make those other people on the other side calm down." In other words, it's a prayer of asking God to change them instead of it being a prayer asking God to change us. If you've ever been upset and you've had someone tell you to calm down, you know that it often doesn't work. Sometimes it does if it's the right person and they say it with just the right way. But some pains are so deep that they simply can't be just calmed down like that. Instead, they have to be listened to and loved over a period of time. And if we are to seek unity, if we are to seek the mind of Christ, we must relearn to listen to and to love those who think differently from us. You know, most of us are willing to have one mind as long as that one mind is my mind, right? But the one mind that we're asked to seek is the mind of Christ. And the fact is that the body of Christ is incredibly diverse. No one member of the body sees the picture fully. You know, we all grasp little different aspects of it. And as we seek the mind of Christ together, we see this beautiful picture emerge of unity in the midst of diversity. We need each other. And I love that elsewhere in Scripture, the Apostle Paul talks about the body of Christ in terms of different parts. You know, some people are hands, some people are eyes, some people are the unseen parts, some people are the mouthpiece. We all serve a different purpose, but together we make a beautiful picture and we make an amazing impact. You know, we love those who think differently by listening to God's word, by recognizing that we need each other, and by listening to one another without judgment and by self-reflection. Many times, unfortunately, we do just the opposite. And instead of listening, we're planning our rebuttal before the other person has even finished their sentence. And instead of understanding where another person is coming from, we're loading up with 8 reasons why we think they might be wrong on a given issue. You know, they could be wrong, you could be wrong. I can tell you this, none of us is fully right. In fact, in Romans 3:23, it tells us that all have sinned, and I love that part is in the past tense, and the next part of the sentence says, so all have sinned and fall short, present tense, of the glory of God. And so the implication there is that we've all blown it in the past, and we all continue to do so in the present, no matter how many years we've been walking with Jesus. Now, God willing, we make progress, but we're still fallen. Jeremiah 17:9 reminds us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You know, none of us is fully right. And if we want to see better days, we need to seek unity by listening to and loving those who think differently than we do. So I want to challenge everyone watching to do one thing. I want to challenge you to listen to one person you disagree with this week without any judgment. It doesn't necessarily have to be someone that you disagree with politically, though it could be. It could just be someone who you've recently had an interpersonal disagreement with. Just listen to them. Try to understand their experience without offering advice, without offering input, and yes, longtime Christians, without offering any Bible verses. Just listen and see what God teaches you. Here's the next thing we all need to do before we'll see better days. We need to keep a soft heart. You know, keeping your heart soft is actually really hard work. Do you know what it means to keep a soft heart? It means perpetually peeling the calluses that we allow to build up in order to avoid pain. Keeping our heart soft means opening ourselves up to feeling pain again, and that is hard. To protect ourselves from pain, our bodies form calluses. It's actually a natural response. And some calluses are actually really helpful, but left unchecked, calluses can cause problems. Now, my hands, you can't really see it, but my hands have a decent amount of calluses from working out on the bar and doing pull-ups. And the more I use my hands working out, the thicker my calluses get. Now, calluses like these are really helpful for items like doing, or for tasks like doing pull-ups and things like that. But I learned something new about calluses about a year ago. I was in the gym and I was talking to one of the guys and he told me that I have to maintain my calluses. And I thought to myself, what does it mean to maintain my calluses? But what the person was explaining to me was that if you let the calluses grow too thick, they're prone to rip in the midst of a workout and it hurts like crazy. Well, sure enough, he was right. I ripped my calluses one day and the ensuing pain was absolutely awful. Simple tasks like washing my hands or washing my hair in the shower felt like absolute fire on my hands. And I'm not trying to gross you out here. What I'm trying to do is to explain to you that I learned that I needed to maintain my calluses to protect my hands and constantly make sure that they weren't getting too thick. It's a balance. I'm trying to help you understand that keeping a soft heart requires heart callus management. We need just enough of a callus around our hearts so that we don't let the insults of the world get into our hearts. We need to be just tough enough to endure the hardships of life without becoming hardened by life. We need a certain amount of grit that says, I don't quit no matter how hard life gets. But we need a softness that says, okay, it's time for me to let this one go. Heart callus management is hard work. And when the calluses around our hearts are left unmanaged, we think we're protecting ourselves as they get thicker and thicker. But what we're really doing is numbing ourselves to pain. And one day when those calluses rip through, it's really, really going to hurt. We need to manage the calluses around our hearts. When we ask God the Holy Spirit to help us peel the calluses off our hearts, we will start feeling some painful things that we didn't want to feel. It will feel raw. In the case of racial issues, we might have to confront some ugly realities that we grew up around. We might have to confront some ugly realities that we created. We might have to confront some ugly thought patterns that we didn't know existed. Over and over in the Bible, Christians are encouraged to keep a soft heart. It's the one place where God keeps saying, don't let those calluses get too thick there. If they get too thick, you won't feel the pain of hurting people anymore. And one of the huge problems I see on every side of this racial issue right now and everything going on in society is hardened hearts. People are so calloused by the social issues and the news and the headlines that they're not even hearing hurting people. And the hurting can't see past their own pain in many circumstances. See, before better days can come, we need to seek unity by listening to and loving those who think differently from us. Secondly, we need to keep our hearts soft, but keeping our hearts soft means facing pain. If I know one thing about God, it's that God promises to be there with us right in the midst of pain. Why don't you say amen if you're in your house right now, if you agree. Keep your heart soft, even if it hurts. The next thing that we all need to do if we want to see better days ahead is this. We need to keep a humble mind. You know, just about everyone would agree with the statement, keep a soft heart, as almost all would agree with the statement that we should keep a humble mind. In fact, you know, if you look on social media, it's kind of like one of these slogans, like stay humble, you know, stay cool, stay calm, stuff like that. But here's the thing though, to keep a humble mind actually means doing something that most of us don't want to do. It literally means considering someone else to be more important than you. The Apostle Paul explains that Jesus set the standard for this in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Go ahead and turn there if you would. Philippians 2, and we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. It says this, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, and here's the definition that I use, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. So Jesus literally lived out humility by counting others as more important than himself. Jesus invites you to consider others as more important than yourself. Now, this is really easy to do when we all agree and everything is peaceful. This is really hard to do when life is tough and social division abounds. So I want to encourage us all to keep a humble mind by considering others more important than ourselves. I want to encourage all of us to approach people with more of an open ear and less of a pointing finger. And to keep a humble mind, we have to let go of our pride. You know, a guy named Joshua addressed a group of Israelites in the Old Testament and told them that they had to choose this day whom they were going to serve, the God of the Israelites or the false gods of the pagan nation. And for us, we need to choose this day whom we want to serve. Are we going to serve our pride or are we going to serve our God? We need to drop the prideful opinions of the past and the prideful thought patterns that we held on to, and we need to choose this day to embrace the transforming work of Jesus Christ in our minds. It takes me to the next thing we need to do before we see better days. Keep forgiving others and yourself. Verse 9 reminds us in 1 Peter 2 of something we already know. It reminds us that if we want to be blessed, we need to stop reviling and keep forgiving. If we want to see our relationships move forward, we need to stop moving them backwards by constantly bringing up old wounds. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus did on the cross? He was reviled, but he doesn't revile in return. He was cursed, but he offers blessing instead. See, if you want to be blessed again in your future, keep forgiving. Keep forgiving your spouse. Keep forgiving your parents. Keep forgiving your coworkers. Keep forgiving your kids. Keep forgiving your friends who let you down. Keep forgiving when people don't understand and misjudge your perspective. Also, keep forgiving yourself. You know, this whole message today is about longing for better days ahead. All of us are longing for better days ahead. I certainly am. And I'm sure you are too. And what 1 Peter 3, 8 through 12 gives us is a roadmap on how to be blessed again and on how to see better days again. And so I just want to end my message with a question. Are you angry? Let me remind you that anger is a surface emotion, and what's underneath anger is hurt. We will never solve the anger we're feeling inside until we let God heal the hurt that's in our hearts. Some of you might feel that you have a righteous anger towards an issue, like how God feels towards sin. And even if that is the case, we still have to ask ourselves, how did Jesus handle himself when he had righteous anger? I think of Jesus turning the tables in the temple because the Jews had made the temple outer court where the Gentiles were supposed to worship a commercial center, and it was distracting them from worship. Jesus shows us that there are times for a display of righteous anger. The overwhelming majority of the Bible, though, shows us that the way that we are to interact with this world is through love and not through anger. So if you are angry because you're hurt, let God heal your heart. If you are angry because of a righteous anger, put it out there, but don't let that be your predominant message, or else I'm not sure that anger is as righteous as you may think it is. See, all of us are angry about things right now. The issues that we're angry about are going to look different, but we're all actually just longing for the same thing. And what we're longing for are better days ahead. Well, we need to be praying for those better days. Some people say, well, you know, praying isn't enough. Really? Well, my God says that I'm to pray about everything without ceasing, that God always hears, that prayer moves mountains, and that there's power when a righteous man or a righteous woman puts an issue to prayer. You know, the real battle that we're facing right now is a spiritual battle that only God can heal. Prayer is where the battle of the heart is won. We have to let the power of God penetrate our hearts and fill them. You know, we are not powerless right now. We are power-filled and powerful with the Holy Spirit. We have the power of love. We have the power of hearing the hurting. We have the power of prayer. Friends, we all want to see better days. But let's turn our anger to adoration of God. Let's give our hurts to the healer. And then, and only then, can we find peace, unity, and better days on this side of heaven where things are so broken and so messed up. Better days are ahead. Let's believe that today. Amen. If you're watching this and you've never made the decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I believe that God brought you here to settle that question once and for all right now. God promises to forgive you of all your sin, adopt you into his family, fill you with his Spirit, and give you an eternal life that's beyond anything that you could ask for or imagine. There's only one catch. Jesus wants the steering wheel of your heart. So if you're ready to step over the line and call yourself a Christian, I'm gonna give you a chance to do that right here and right now. It's not mystical or magical. God hears the faith as you pray in your heart right now. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and the sins of the world. I believe you died there, and I believe you rose from the grave so I could have everlasting life. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Spirit. And give me the power to live this life for you. God, I'm tired of running. Here's the steering wheel of my heart. Take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Before you sign off, you can listen to more great messages on City Church's website at lovehopecity.com. Or if you have a question, send us an email at hello@lovehopecity.com. Come see us any Sunday at 701 West Broadway, Anaheim, California. Check the website for times and services.